You know, we love any excuse to watch great reality TV. So, with the weather heating up, while chartering a luxury yacht might be a little out of reach, we can still get our fix by binge watching all seasons and spin-offs of Below Deck available on Hayu.
The first all-reality subscription service of its kind, Hayu gives you access to every episode and every season of a wide range of captivating reality TV franchises. Plus, you can watch brand new episodes available the same day they air in the U.S. without ads. It's pretty awesome.
And if you're looking for a new series to dive into, Below Deck is the perfect choice. Tune in for a fresh yachty drama on brand new episodes of Below Deck Mediterranean, airing now. And once you're hooked, revisit classic seasons of all the franchises, including Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Adventure, and Down Under, all available on Hayu.
You know that we've watched every single episode of Below Deck. We have not only watched them, we've talked about them endlessly. We obsess over them.
Below Deck is so good, and it is such an amazing source of petty drama. If you're not watching it, you're really missing out.
Slide into summer with Below Deck. New episodes airing now.
Watch all seasons and spin-offs of Below Deck on Hayu. That's HAYU.com.
She was a romance mystery writer.
They gloated on the fact that she writes stories like this.
There are murders in all of the books.
From Wondery, the makers of Ghost Story and Theta, this is a story about a murder that rocked my little community. Binge all episodes of Happily Never After ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once upon a beat,
join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, for a weekly jam-packed party as we remix and reimagine classic stories for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Once Upon a Beat is a new kids and family podcast from Wondery and Tinkercast, where hip-hop and fables meet. Listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode. So then she talks about her godmother's coming, and she's like, yeah, my godmother's my dad's first cousin, and she's been like a second mom to me, and like a lot of my bouginess I get from my godmother, and like she's always dressed in nines and Louis Vuitton and everything. And wait, hold on 1 second. Yeah, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I decided I don't want to talk
to you. I'm done with it now. How are you dressed to the nines like the lady who wears Louis Vuitton everything? You wear Louis Vuitton nothing. What are you talking about?
Like, even the people who work at Van Heusen are embarrassed when you walk
in. You look like a dryer sheet with a ribbon tied around it. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, no. So Danielle is like saying how she's like, you know what? Like growing up, even if I was like, I don't know, baking a cake, you know, to her, it was my godmother was always like the best cake ever. And like maybe when I was like, why? Maybe that's why I was messed up. Cause today, because I always thought all my cakes were good. But like, I don't know. Let me think about this. Even at 38, it's still the most special girl in the world to her. So it means the world to have her come into my bougie kids. You don't get a prize because an adult thought your cake as a 5-year-old was good. That's what all adults say to all kids.
Well, yeah, she's just kind of like hanging on to like one of the last people she hasn't dumped yet, basically. And trying to convince us all that she does have those relationships. So Danielle's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, he would love me. Like, he would have loved the theater for sure, my dad. But, like, it would have just been too much on my mind, you know? But I'm just already so nervous. I can't, like, have my kids walking down there and thinking my dad probably wishes this is my brother's fashion show on Fashion Week. I can't do it. I can't do it. Fuck my dad. Fuck him.
Yeah, it's too much stress to have a guy who just loves me purely to come to my event. I can't do this. You know that he was outside the Fashion Week with his fist in his finger. Oh, oh.
You just hear thumping.
Let me in, please.
Turn up the music. Turn up the music.
Hey, Anna Wintour, can you give this gift to my dad? I'm not talking to him. Thanks so much.
He's like a big tray of dollar store gifts that say Bougie Brunch. Thank you. So golf, now it's a golf club. And this is the other team. This is Team Marge. and Lexi. So they come up and they're going to do clubs for a cause. Okay. This is where we golf for a cause. Okay. What is the cause? I forgot. Ben, do you remember what the cause was? The clubs for a cause benefits first responders and children of first responders who don't golf very good. Okay. It's for children with handicaps. And by that, I mean golf handicaps. They're fine. They can walk fine. They can walk fine. But you know what? They do have golf handicaps, which is actually very normal. It's basically for children that golf.
Now, if you're wondering why would I be raising money for Teresa, you're sadly mistaken. She's a slow responder, not a first responder. Okay. So did I just forget this from earlier this season that she has some sort of beverage soiree? That's what she's hawking on this.
I do not remember her having a beverage concert. How is that possible? We watch every episode of this.
I don't remember soiree at all. It's just, I remember I read an article recently. Oh, because the whole thing, there's been so much that happened while we've been gone, but this is sort of old news at this point. But the big thing that's happening with New Jersey is that they're having separate reunions, or they're doing an unconventional reunion this year because it's so fractured. And so when I was reading an article about it in like People last week, it was like, they talked about Margaret, like the soiree inventor says such and such, or the soiree such and such. That was the first time I heard about this. I was like, soiree? I looked it up.
It's, let's see. It's, you know, crazy flavored drinks. You know, very colorful. Okay. One is called the Coco Colada. It's a lush, lively tropical tea, flirty and fresh with a fragrant finish. The Coco Colada is delicious with a generous slosh of rum over ice. So I guess it's mixers for your drink. This does sound familiar. So there are cans, I guess, that you mix with the drinks. One of them is called the Margarita. It's the Margarita. Do you get it? Is that fabulous? Could you die? Okay, you know what? We're going to have another drink. It's called the Could You Die? And you have it right after you have the Margarita. All right.
Yeah. You know what? We also have something called a Jody Colada and a Jody Number 2 Colada. You just have them both at the same time.
Let me tell you something. When your oven goes on the fritz, Jody Number 1 Colada will come through for you. That's what I'm saying.
If you need a coaster, we have a Joester. That's where you go, hey, Joe, hold this drink.
You know what, Ben? Can I tell you something about a drink soiree? Okay, first of all,
yes.
Could you die? You could. Okay. So, soiree, an elevated affair, an extravaganza to remember, like actually remember. Soiree is alcohol-free. Memories are made with a soiree. So I guess it's for people who don't drink, but if you want to drink, put alcohol in it. That's what I say.
You know what? As Elton John once said, soiree seems to be the hottest word.
All right. So we're at this thing for soiree. And she's like, what's going on? Hello. Nice to see you. You have so many people here, person from handicapped children who play golf with no handicaps. Very, very talented handicapped children with golf handicaps, whatever this is. Would you like a non-alcoholic drink or would you like some booze in it? You can have either one.
Yeah, have this one. It's to die for. That's what it's called. Get it to die for. Okay. All right, and here's this one. Yeah, this one's for Joan. No, that's what it's called. It's called This Is For Joan. Enjoy it. It's a lemon lime flavor. That's for you, Joan.
So she's like, today I'm doing a special charity called Clubs for a Cause. Okay. First responders are so selfless. They have suffered so, so much, which is why I'm wearing a hat about alcohol in health-related
They have suffered so much. Which is why later on I'm going to drive recklessly on this golf cart and cause injury to other people. So that way, just so they can do their job some more.
Yeah, you know what? First responders, what's a better way to recklessly drive and text at the same time than at a party for first responders? Am I right?
They are so selfless and suffered so much. Unlike that bitch Jackie Goldschneider who I have stood up for my entire life. My entire life I've stood up for from the moment I was born. Okay.
I stood up for Jackie in vitro. I was literally I was literally a spermatozoa crawling through to try and find an egg, and that's it. I was standing up for Jackie. I was pushing other spermatozoas out of the way. I was saying, give Jackie a chance in a few years. Give Jackie a chance.
I remember being I don't know, 3 days old. And my mother, Marge Sr., she put my face onto her breast. I said, what? I don't want this nipple. Give it to Jackie.
Save it for Jackie.
Save this milk for Jackie. My entire life standing up for her.
I said, you know what? Save it for Jackie. Put it in a cup. Don't put any alcohol in this time, Mom. And call it soiree for Jackie.
Soiree. Jackie, I got some soiree for you. It's from my mother.
Okay, so they're talking about this, you know, drink or whatever. So then the food has come, and she's like, oh, my God, it's the fabulous food. You know, that's what I'm calling you now. So until the audience believes it, because honestly, we've got to do something. We've got a whole show with a bunch of losers here. So let's try and make something happen. Come on. Come on, Rachel Fuda. Rachel Fuda, remember how you told me you'd like to tap dance? Do it right now. Do it right now. Hey, Rachel Fuda, you want to cheat on John? Do it with the soiree guy. Do it over there. He knows handicapped people. Golf handicapped people. Go do it.
So just people are arriving, and then they start like piling into golf carts, start giving the stuff around. And then we cut over to a Mexican restaurant where Jen Fessler is sitting. Jen Fessler is sitting, talking to a waitress. She goes, I want a margarita, please. And then Jennifer Aiden walks up, and they sit down. So they're going to have like a little lunch together.
Oh, hello, boo-boos. You look freaking adorable today. Freaking adorable, I tell you. I've never seen anybody look cuter than you. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, baby. This is Mama Chic. She's like, leggings, I'm not a jean girl. You'll find that you'll never find me in a jean. Hold on. I gotta tweet that. There's some jeans in my block, baby.
So...
So they start talking and talking about bigger. They decide to get a gigantic margarita to share it together because they're wacky girlfriends. And so Aiden is like, oh, yeah, we just love each other now. After
sitting on the plane together to Ireland, she's a real good time, that one.
So they start talking about kids and making small talk and stuff like that. And then we talk about the clean slate. And she's Jennifer Fessler's like, so you're getting back together with Melissa. I heard that you had a lunch with Melissa. How'd that go? She's like,
before we're on the slate. Me and Melissa, that's us. We're on a slate together.
She's like, clean slate. She's like,
yeah, it's a clean slate. I mean, it's not dirty, but it's not clean. It's just sort of like a slate, just sort of the average amount of dust build up after a few days before the cleaning lady gets there, baby.
So then back on the golf course, it's Marge, Lexi, Rachel, and Melissa, and Dolores are all there now. And they're all talking about the boys. And Marge is like, look, let's give these boys a drink. They're very, very cute. Boys, you want some soiree? Anybody want a margarita?
It's to die for. It's the flavor. So yeah, they're giving them out and everything, and she's like, this was great, everyone, thank you so much, this is great. And Laura's like, ah, thank you. So I've got to work off that mini gyro I had for dinner. So Melissa's like, you know, Melissa's gonna be having a housewarming, and so she's asking if they're all coming, and they're looking to come and everything. And she's like, you know, by the way, guys, just so you know, I did invite Jackie because, listen, I don't want to be mean. She's like, of course. I mean, you're not going to not invite her, right? Like, the girl will fucking spiral, and then she'll have to thank you for, you know, putting her into the darkest hour, all that bullshit, classic Jackie Goldschneider bullshit, which, oh, that's the flavor of this. Classic Jackie Goldschneider bullshit. It's actually a really good, delicious soiree.
Darkest hour, the Jackie Goldschneider drink, all right? It's made out of bullshit and tears.
Oh, does anyone want to try this new flavor? It's called I Supported You All My Life. It goes great when you're hanging out with Jackie.
So Melissa's like, yeah, you know, and I know this is going to shock everybody, but I also invited Jen because we just need to start fresh, you know? So then back to Fessler. She's like, so you're doing a housewarming? Tell me about the housewarming.
I am going. I'm going to get it. Melissa's housewarming, baby.
She goes, oh, yes, I'm going too. I'm going to go. And so this giant margarita is placed right between them. And then they are drinking from it and everything. And Jennifer's like, she's like, yeah, so I think the both of us are going to be respectful. And we're not going to talk about Teresa to each other.
And we're just going to try to take it, you know, just like that. And she acknowledges that we're all going to be together on multiple occasions. And has to do what's best for me, baby. Because what's best for me is letting go of hostility and moving on. And I haven't told her yet that I'm going to the housewarming party. But I'm sure it'll go well, right, baby?
And she's like, you know, Teresa says it doesn't bother her. But of course, it's going to sting her. And she's like, I just don't need this negative energy, though, so I got to try it.
Well, I mean, having a similar situation, I'm becoming even friendlier with Teresa. So That's very interesting to see who's going to get upset and who's not going to get upset. Ooh, who's going to get mad about us having a giant margarita? I just love it. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to have a giant margarita if I want to have a giant margarita, and no one's going to stop me. And that's my stance. The Gen Festless stance. I shall have margaritas with whoever I want to. Isn't this fabulous?
You know, it's like, what a bummer in this group. People hate each other one minute and love each other the next minute. And Jennifer's like, yeah, for example, when we're at Danielle's party, baby. And she starts, Jennifer Aiden starts talking about how Danielle, like, once again, was accusing her of setting her up, like, accusing Jennifer Aiden of setting her up about the Melissa thing last season.
Which she did. And then they move over to the Lena thing, where she's like, oh,
and she wasn't happy that I had Lena at my brunch. And she was going on about Lena being a VIP section. She was saying, who's Lena to be here in the VIP section?
And Fester's like, oh.
Who is she? Lena. Lena's a woman who does hair. A woman who does amazing hair, big hair, small hair, bobs, shaves, combs, curls. She's Lena, the hair lady. Who wouldn't put Lena in the VIP section? I mean, really.
It's very gross. And then Rachel and Teresa start getting into it, but I have to say, Teresa was super calm. She was more triggered by Danielle than she was by Rachel, which was very surprising to me, baby.
And then she did say to Rachel that, I wasn't trying to say that John Fuda was a drug dealer. Right now, I was saying that he was a drug dealer in the past, which is totally different, baby.
Oh, I'm so glad she was actually taking accountability and saying, listen, I don't mean it. I wasn't saying that he is a drug dealer, and I appreciate that. Anything to help me have a mental workaround for suddenly becoming friends with Teresa.
Truly. I mean, it is just crazy. What does that mean? Wow, look at Teresa. What a good person. I was just calling him a drug dealer in the past. So she's like,
yeah, but then Rachel wouldn't have it. I mean, Rachel was fighting with her, and it ended up with Teresa leaving. She got no closure. No closure. She did get a pair of underwear made out of plastic bags from a garbage store with feathers glued to it, and crotchless, by the way. I don't know if she's going to be able to wear those, but it was a nice thought.
Hey, what was that? What's that funny saying you're always saying? Something about you always don't give a nothing or whatever. You do something with a nothing. If you got something you don't want to give, then don't give none in the first place. What has it go again?
Oh, my God. I'm not even going to do this because did she just like totally jump into cartoonish black scent to do? What was she doing?
Don't start now.
And then I was like, okay, well, that was... And then she repeated it, and she's like, don't stop!
But she does like a
buzz. Oh, yeah.
She's like, don't stop! No. She was trying to, like... She was having a little visit into Black Scent world a little bit.
Yeah. No. Bad. So then we go to the charity golf event thing, and Melissa's like, oh, you missed a show at brunch, and I just didn't want to call you because I know you're on a girls' trip. You didn't want to call me on a girls' trip? You kidding? Denise, I was left alone on a beach with Denise's Manolo. Everybody else literally got sucked up by a storm. I never saw them again. All I was thinking about is she told off Teresa. How did it go? Did you threaten Teresa with anything? I mean, call me. Always call me, okay? I'm like a helpline for a gym. I'm always open. Call me.
So, Melissa's
helpline for a gym. I don't know where that came from.
I was like, are they always?
No, I don't know. I don't know why I thought that. Go ahead. Let's just pretend that didn't happen. Moving along. You know, let's just pretend the black scent to this part. None of it ever happened.
By the way, did I tell you? I would love to hear what the audience recommends for this. This has nothing to do with it, but you brought up something that I discovered. I canceled my membership to LA Fitness literally 3 years ago. And last week discovered that they've been charging me all this time, which was definitely my fault
for not realizing it on my bill. That is a privilege right there.
Well, like, you know, you get charges and you see charges on your thing. And like, I don't know how. I'm actually very good about looking at stuff, but somehow I missed it. And then I realized they have been charging me for 3 years. And at this point, and I have no case. It's my own stupidity. It's my fault. It's my fault at this point. But also, I'm like, that's bullshit.
That is bullshit.
And everyone should know that LA Fitness is shady boots like that. So part of me is like, I want to write an angry letter. But I know that they're going to be like, well, I'm sorry, we never received your letter. Or like, I can't find any record of the letter I even wrote. This is just awful. Part of me is like, well, maybe I should just lease. I've got an LA Fitness membership. Maybe I'll just use
maybe
it.
Just start
I don't
going
know.
Back.
What do you think I should do?
I mean, I don't know. I've never been to LA Fitness. I don't know if it's nice or not.
I just feel like an idiot.
Oh, don't feel like an idiot.
I feel like an idiot.
No, you're not stupid. But you are thin. So you know what? Maybe it's been helping you all this time, even though you're not going. I do believe that paying for a gym membership burns calories. So it's working for you.
Maybe
you
I go great. Into a fugue state. I go into a fugue state and go.
Yeah, maybe you've been going this whole time and you don't even know it. Okay, so Aiden is they're gossiping about the you know whatever happened at the party, and Rachel's like, "Well, I called you Margaret." She goes, "Oh, I know that you called me Fabulous Fooder. I know that you do. I remember my phone rang and I said Fabulous Fooder's calling." And then Melissa's like, "So you told her what happened? So I need to ask you after that brunch because like that was intense." She goes, "I'm good. I'm good. I just have way too much shit going on at home to give two shits about anything else. Like shit that Teresa is saying. I just do not care. Okay."
What does she have going on at home, by the way? Ooh. I'd like to know. I've got too much shit going on at home. I'm like what? My ice machine is broken. Too much shit going on. Too much shit. I can't focus on Teresa right now.
John lost a customer's keys the other day. Literally spent all morning looking for them. It was very, very difficult.
John got very excited. He was like, "Oh my God, they're doing a show all about me on Bravo." I said, "No, it's called The Valley, not The Valet." It took him a while to come down from that.
So then Dolores is like, "Well, you listen, I think that you said everything. She said everything. I don't think there's anything left to say. I mean, is there anything left to say?" And Richard goes, "I have nothing. My tank is empty. Yes, I did make a car pun after my husband has been called a parking attendant. I don't know why I did that. Jim customer service is open all night long. I'll tell you that much."
Listen, we can fight about petty shit, but we can't drag it on. For instance, a lot of people are talking to me about when Paul's divorce is like, and I'm like, aren't you upset about the divorce? Like, why is it taking so long? So well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, why don't we talk about me for a second here, huh? How about that?
And Margaret's like, "I mean, who's even talking about that, Dolores? Who's even talking about it?" And Melissa just smiles, because that's Melissa's favorite thing to do. It's like, "Hi, Dolores, you married yet? Oh, Dolores."
I know.
What I want for you.
That's why Dolores needs to get married, just to show
up. Yes. I think that's her. That's what I'm getting at, is her whole thing is just like, "Look at me yelling at Paulie, so Melissa will leave me alone." You know?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
Peyton, it's happening. We're finally being recognized for being very online.
It's about damn time. I mean, it's hard work being this opinionated.
And correct.
You're such a Leo.
All the time. Yeah. So if you're looking for a home for your worst opinions.
If you're a hater first and a lover of pop culture second.
Then join me, Hunter Harris.
And me, Peyton Dix, the host of Wondery's newest podcast, Let Me Say This.
As beacons of truth and connoisseurs of mess, we are scouring the depths of the internet so you don't have to.
We're obviously talking about the biggest gossip and celebrity news.
Like, it's not a question of if Drake got his body done, but when.
You are so messy for that, but we will be giving you the B-sides, don't you worry. The deep cuts, the niche, the obscure.
Like that one photo of Nicole Kidman after she finalized her divorce from Tom Cruise.
Mother, a mother to many. Follow Let Me Say This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to episodes everywhere on May 22nd, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app on Apple Podcasts.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge, and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm Elena, an autopsy technician.
And I'm Ash, a hairstylist.
And we just love swapping stories about all of the morbid things that fascinate us.
And if you do too, join us on our podcast, Morbid. It's a safe space to let your weirdo flag fly.
On Morbid, we cover dark historical events, sinister science, unnerving paranormal events, and sordid high society murders.
We also dive deep into the most notorious crimes in history.
Our podcast is grounded in rigorous and painstaking research. We're also not afraid to read a
Yeah. We keep it weird because a dash of snark is necessary to get through grotesque true tales of demented minds.
So follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Commercial.
So now the guys are playing golf, and it's supposed to be a fun, wacky guys scene. That fun, wacky guys energy is dead now. It no longer exists. It's dead. It's dead with Louis, and it's dead with this Fuda guy coming in. It's just not fun anymore. Sorry, guys. Fire the guys.
And Frank is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
So Dolores, we're back, and then Dolores is talking about how Paul is still not divorced. And she's like, you know, he kind of snapped at me, nearly knocked over the pile of mini gyros, and said, well, do you think I'm going to get on one knee and get engaged the day after I get a divorce?
Oh, my God.
And Rachel says,
what did he say? And let me tell you something else about those mini gyros, okay? I'm going to name a drink after them because I love them so much. I'm going to call the drink, have you ever had a mini gyro this not mini? Am I dead?
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a glass, a 7-Up, and we're going to put it in a blender with some mini gyros, work it together, put it in a can, boom, you're done. It's called, have you ever had a mini gyro? I die.
I'm dead. I'm gyro.
Dead. I'm dead with a soiree. It's a gyro soiree.
So Dolores is like, well, he kind of snapped at me and he said, what do you think? I'm going to get on one knee and get engaged the day after I get divorced. And Rachel goes, why not? And Margaret goes, just so you know, everybody, I got married a week after my divorce. Okay. A week after. So it can be done.
A week.
You were cheating on your husband, to be fair. I mean, you were in the relationship for a really long time.
But so is Dolores and Polly. You know, it would have been faster than a week, but I had to spend 2 days defending Jackie Goldschneider, okay, to the U.S. Post Office.
Listen,
she was missing some
mail. You know why my divorce took a week? Because 6 of those days, I had to go in front of the judge, and I said, think about Jackie Goldschneider.
Because when we were separating our assets, I said, well, what are we going to say for Jackie Goldschneider? All my life I've defended her. All my life.
Listen, I'm going to get the alimony. That's not even under contest. But you know who else should get alimony? Jackie Goldschneider.
And why are we naming it after Al? Who's Al? Why don't we call it Jackimony? She deserves it all.
Who's getting custody of Jackie Goldschneider? It better be me. I love her.
All my life.
So she's like, literally, 1 week after my divorce, Joe and I were in Vegas. Boom, boom. He locked that shit up. I mean, come on, Paulie. I mean, right after all those papers are signed, go to the altar. What are you going to do? And Dolores is like, well, I moved in with him. That was a lot for me. But I don't want to talk about anything else. Like, just stop bringing it up, everybody. By the way, I had mini gyros. And Paulie said he wouldn't marry me.
Listen, I don't need a big, huge ring. I mean, I'll take a big, huge ring. But honestly, just make it out of focaccia. I'll be happy. Maybe an alligator. A focaccia alligator. Focaccia, you know, a whole focaccia menagerie, that's all I
need. You know what? Just don't even bother. Just get me a ring cam, and I can order myself focaccia and watch little focaccia deliveries arrive. That'll make me happy. That's really all I need.
I can walk from the living room to the kitchen to the living room and watch the focaccia deliveries the entire time on my phone.
Ring, ring. So back to the boys grilling Polly about getting married, you know. And he's like, well, I'm moving my office from the city and I'm going to go to Jersey. And I hate the guys right now. Isn't that weird? Why do I hate all the men? Yeah. I don't want to watch
them. I don't know. Well, either way, Paul is doing some stuff. He's like, oh, I've been thinking about going into the business together, me and Dolores. That's the thing. To me, that's the real commitment. You know, that's transitioning to the future, is that we're going to work together. I'm like, yeah, that always works out really well when people work together.
You know what? We're not here for the love. We're here in it for the LLC. And that's real commitment. They're like, yeah, that's great, bro. That's great. But that is, you know, to the point that they are really a good couple, whether they're married or not. And why I think that Dolores doesn't really give a shit if they're married. This is Dolores's love language, and he is speaking it. Pebble tiles, picking pebble tiles together in a home. That's her love language. That's what she wants to do with her life. You know,
God bless. I think that Gorga does not have it quite right. He says, "I've known Dolores since I was 5 years old." Okay, I remember the first time I jerked off to her. Man, I don't know how old was I? 9? I don't know. But she don't want to go into business. She wants to sit back, drive Rolls Royces. He goes to work.
Since I'm like, when? If
Dolores wants to drive Rolls Royces, she could have had them a very long time ago.
Dolores, when has Dolores ever sat around and been taken care of by some man? That's not the Dolores she was
literally
that we've
a seen. Police officer.
Yeah.
Wasn't she like a prison guard at one point?
She was a prison guard. She was everything. She's done 30 jobs. She's always had a career. Joe Gorga is so full of shit.
Yeah, no. She was dealing with a much more rough and tumble lifestyle than I think someone who wants a Rolls Royce.
But listen, it wouldn't be Housewives of Jersey if they didn't say, hey, you know what people really want? A bunch of guys being misogynists on a golf court for a while. You know what we should do? Let's do that thing where someone puts a golf ball in between their ass cheeks and then they all laugh as they like to get the, let's do it again. Let's do it again. People love it.
Yeah, they hit some shots off of tees. One is out of Joe Bonino's butt, and I think it was a Joe Gorga who did it, who like whacked his ass with the golf club, which is, by the way, that is not, that sounds like it hurts.
That's assault.
I'm going to say that right now.
That is actually assault. So then the ladies back at golf, they're like, oh my God, let's look for the men. I hope they're still sober. So then, let's see. Girls now in the golf court, in the golf cart, and they're... This is where Margaret's texting and driving. And like, Marge, you're driving. You've got to pay attention. She's like, whatever. I'm just texting Joan and saying, am I dead right now? Boom. Literally just crashed. Are we dead? Now it makes more sense.
She literally crashes into someone else. I mean, this is an old trope on Bravo. The Real Housewives driving golf carts and being crazy. But in this case, Margaret really is terrible at it. And she is... the terror on the green. So now we go to Fashion Week. We're in New York City, and Danielle's getting out of the car with her kids because it's the Fashion Week. It's time for her big show. Bougie Kids goes to the big city.
Yep, and she's back there, and she's like, okay, so what do we do? Try the clothes? What do the kids put the clothes on? How does this work? I don't know how it works. I just got this in the mail. Oh, my God. The nice lady who works for me, the Tim Booth, just got these set over today. Everybody, put these on. No one does a tutu better than me, am I right?
She puts her daughter in this god-awful outfit. This was like red. It's like red Lycra or something with a tutu. It just looks awful. It's just awful for the tutu industry. And I don't know any parent that would voluntarily put that on.
It's child abuse. It is bullying and child abuse. So the kids aren't listening to her. They're all running around, which is really funny. And she's talking to a little girl. She goes,
hey, smile. You're New York Fashion Week. How old are you anyway? Yeah, you know what? This is a big deal, little girl. Okay, you can crack a smile or else I'm going to fart in your face.
I don't think smiling's allowed at Fashion Week. I don't think models smile. I don't think she realizes how
it works. I know that kid actually got it right.
Yeah. So it's just like a lot of prep. It's like, you know, backstage mania. Nate and Dominic show up and, you know, the godmother and everything. And
of course,
you know,
Melissa's telling Nate, like, oh, yeah, of course I've done Fashion Week before. Yeah. All my kids have walked in Fashion Week. So, yeah, this is huge for her. I'm just so excited for her because I've already done it. I'm a veterinarian. So I've done this before.
Listen, unless it's the posh fashion show, I'm not interested in watching this stuff on New Jersey, okay? And I say bring back the posh fashion show. It's time.
Melissa's the one who ruined the posh fashion show while I'm giving Melissa shit
Melissa
today.
Melissa ruined that shit too.
You know who has a really good show? Kim D. I love it. And I don't even know what it's called. Oh, is it called Messing with the Big Boys? I think that's her book. Like dealing with the big, messing with the big boys or something. But Kim D has a show because we follow Kim D on the Instagram, you know. And I see little clips of it that she posts. And I love it.
She's like, you know what I feel about it. Let me tell you what I feel about Teresa. I feel like it's a bunch of bullshit. And you know what I have to say to that hairdresser? I don't like you. And I did like you, but now I don't like you. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
It's my favorite thing to scroll past. I love it.
She is hilarious. Oh, God. Bring the Kims
Bring
back.
Bring the Kims back. It's time.
It's time. And that, no, we said the plural.
Both
okay?
of them. D-N-G. Get Granitelle in here, too. Get her ass in here. We need everybody.
Get them all in here. Okay. So it's like fashion. It's a fashion show. And Danielle's doing it. I mean, where the fuck am I right now? I literally just walked into Marie Antoinette version of the Nutcracker. Because the show that was on before her was like modern and like playing classical music. Then, of course, her show starts like.
Yeah, that show before hers was so funny. It was so trying to be pretentious and it was just sad. It was like, wow, a girl doing a plie to dark music. You know, she's like, what the fuck is this? So then her kids come out, and I mean, it really is, it's like if Multiplicity starred Fran Drescher from The Nanny, and they lined up 20 Fran Dreschers and then just started driving her over high speed with buses, and they were just splatting all over the windshield. That's what it looked like. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, so it goes on for a long time, and then afterwards, Danielle's like, she's in her confessional choking up. She goes, oh my God, having my own line, was like a conversation that I have like drunk with Nate at a bar. Imagine it. Can you imagine? And like, if young Danielle could see me now, don't worry. Dream as big as you possibly can. And don't let anybody dull your sparkle. Because remember, the people who support you are the people you should never talk to ever again in your life.
So then we go to Teresa's, and Rosie, the golden retriever, is on Teresa's match. She's like, Rosie, I need to do yogas. Go over there. Rosie went over there. Rosie went to college.
I felt like this was so mean, having a dog named Rosie, when poor Rosie, who also should come back, has probably just been waiting by the phone for Teresa, cousin Teresa, to call up. Be like, hey, come on, cousin Teresa, welcome on. We grew up together. Come on, I'm gonna fuck you up. Oh my God,
I'll fucking kill her.
Remember Rosie at the reunion? You just hear her screaming backstage.
So they're stretching and everything, and Lou's like, okay, I'm gonna stretch you out, Teresa. She goes,
yeah, okay, do that.
Hey, does this feel good?
Yeah, it feels good.
Okay, I'm going a little lower.
We gotta release the endorphin disease, because nobody's gonna do a sparkle.
So then we go to the Fudas, and Rachel's putting on makeup, and John is, you know, like, trying to look really good, because he's putting on his Adidas tracksuit. And like his best, because he's having a housewife scene today, so he's like trying to pump himself up.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Ah, look who it is, Johnny Soprano, in your little tracksuit there." He's like, "Yeah, well, I was gonna wear this to the shit show. What do you think? What do you think? Do I look good? Is this like reunion worthy or what?"
Yeah, and so we see. I don't know. I'm confused here. So he's basically. They're getting ready for this
meeting.
This big,
they have a
like,
big meeting with Teresa meeting. And Luke.
And Rachel's like, she's like, well, you know, this is like, you know, this isn't really like a me thing. This is like a you thing. Like, what are you looking to get out of today? Which is funny that she's saying it's not a her thing when it's totally a her thing. He's like, I just want a proper apology for calling me a parking attendant. Oh, wait, so now you want an apology for the parking attendant thing? I thought it was about the drug dealer thing. What is it now?
Yeah. He just wants to be a housewife. It's so sad. And she's like, I mean, was that supposed to be offensive? Like, what are we supposed to be offended? That you're a parking attendant? Are we supposed to be offended? You were offended. You've been freaking out about it ever since she said it. So yeah, you were offended. And he goes, well, I work my tail off every single day. I'm cool with it. But she can apologize to me for saying that, you know, even though I'm totally proud of my job and don't think it's offensive at all. She can apologize for it. And then she can apologize for calling me a drug dealer. Okay, but you are a drug dealer and a parking attendant. So like, get over it. Be proud. You know what I mean?
They're both on your CV.
They're both like decent jobs.
And so then we go back to the other place, Teresa and Louis. And Louis is like, you know, I think it's a great idea that we meet as couples, because what it does is that it gives us a chance to end things in one instance, in one chance. And she's like, yeah, Louis and I are always trying to be the bigger people.
Yeah, I'm pulling it. So Louis is close, you know. And so I think they say, you got to clear the air. So now we're going to clear the air.
So then she's like, yeah, you know, like, John's going to demand an apology. And she goes, I can't believe John Fugazi even has the audacity to ask me for an apology. He's got a lot of balls. John Fugazi? Maron. He's got balls like that. Who is he? Sherlock Holmes? John Fugazi?
I don't even want to think about his balls. I was like,
I'm like, ma'am, you were married to Joe Judice for many years, so we really can't, like, can't throw stones in glass houses with angel wings.
You can't throw testicles in a sack house. So Fuda's back to the Fuda's. Rachel's like, I mean, you know, the part that really pissed me off, John, is that something that you've been through in your life has been weaponized, and they've tried to make it into something that it's not. And she had said to me at lunch that that I didn't say he was a drug dealer. I said he was a drug dealer. And I'm trying to explain to her that the verb doesn't matter. It's more about the intention behind saying something like that. Like, she wasn't sitting there like, oh, your husband used to be a drug dealer and then he cleaned up his shit and now he's an amazing person. She was weaponizing it. She was weaponizing it. And I'm very, very upset with it. But this is more a you thing than a me thing. So you should take care of this and not me, because this has nothing to do with me, John.
I'll tell you what's weaponizing it is the two of you harping on it for episode after episode of this show. When Teresa said it as one, like, thing, and it was already something that was in the newspapers. So, like, but it's a thing that I think all of us forgot and didn't care about. And, like, I would have forgotten about it at this point. But the fact that, like, they have ceaselessly brought it up every episode about how offended they are is actually the thing that is linking this concept of him being a drug dealer with who he is.
Well, and it's also the dildo thing. It's like he keeps every episode, it's like, oh yeah, I guess I got dildos up my ass now, huh? Huh? What? I'm the one who loves dildos. What do I got a dildo up my ass right now? I mean, like, are you cementing on purpose that you're just the drug dealer with dildos in your butt? Because, like, obviously, I kind of love both of those things, so you're kind of a hero to my people. But, sir, like, if you don't want it, then why are you saying it in every episode? You're, like, literally cementing it as your legacy, you know?
And then he goes, well, you know what? I think that Louis shares, like, who he is through other people's eyes. So, for example, they accuse me of being a drug dealer, but maybe it's because he's a drug dealer, all right? And they accuse people of maybe he is one.
Good one.
That's, yeah, a great, great deduction there.
Were you parking a bug when you thought of that?
He calls me a parking attendant because, you know what? He parks cars. He's a parking attendant. That's why.
Beep, 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 beep. God, I'm too close to that car. Okay, so Teresa and Louis, Teresa's like,
yeah, I really wish you would say sorry for putting a false narrative out there, right? Because, like, look, his ex came forward and said she never spoke to you, right? Like, even Rachel said that I haven't done anything in my life since I got out of jail. You know, I could sit there and call her names too or whatever, but I don't want to be that person, right? I'm not that person anymore, right?
You're literally the same person who does that.
I mean, you just do it more quietly. And now you've got a teammate, so now you're teaming up with somebody to do it.
You know what? If I got to go back there and grab old Teresa, she's there. And if I got to go back and grab the wolf, I feed two wolves every day, Teresa. It's which one I'm going to feed that day, you know? You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What the fuck are you talking about, feeding wolves?
He's saying... He's like, listen, we have both come a long way, but if we need to go pull the wolves out from inside of us, like, they're werewolves and they can be monsters again any moment that they choose. So if he wants to pull out his wolf and unleash on these fucking people, even though he's been holding him back, he feeds two wolves, me and you, Teresa, and we've been keeping it in, but we can unleash on these motherfuckers whenever we want to, which is really hilarious because anybody who sees someone like this guy constantly doing yoga with 20 Buddhas in his backyard, everyone knows that this guy is faking and will slit your throat the second he gets a chance. And he's just admitting it, you know, it's all fakery.
Yeah. So, and then we go back to the Fuda household where they're just continuing to psych each other up and be like, it's either going to be good or it's going to be really bad. And Rachel thinks somehow that Louis is going to talk some sense into Teresa. But we know that's not going to happen. So now they all, so Rachel and John arrive at the
restaurant. Girl, you couldn't lobotomize it into Teresa. Like, Teresa's a thick skull, you know?
That's a thick skull to get through. So they arrive at the restaurant. Rachel and John arrive at the restaurant. They have a private room, aka the whole restaurant, because no one's there. And they're all getting ready and stuff. And, you know, they're sitting down. And now Teresa and Louis show up. And then the Fudos order, like, they each order two shots of tequila for themselves.
I thought this was so funny when Rachel walks in. She goes, "We're here. We have a private room." I'm like, oh, my God. For your fucking housewife's husband fight. So stupid. I loved it. It's like, we're getting a private room at Rails today. We're going to do this right.
Before we start, do you want any mini gyros? So they all sit down and John's like, yeah, well, I don't think it's appropriate for me to start. Louis's like, okay, well, then I'll start. Yeah, well, I think you guys should start. I'm like, he literally just said they're going to start.
All right, so let's start.
Yeah, you guys start.
Yeah, I think you should start.
All right. Okay.
I think you should start.
So she points to a gift and she's like,
you should start.
I'm going to start now, all right?
Start. Oh,
can I? Drugs.
You should.
Deals.
Start.
Drugs. Sorry. Do you have my keys?
Yeah, I got my. Hold on a second. Oh, what's your number again?
I gave you my ticket.
God damn it. She tricked me. She tricked me.
All right. By the way, that Dom Perignon's, that's for my brother. All right. Because I heard that he was having a housewarming and he didn't invite me. So if you guys could take that to him.
They're not your messengers.
She's like, by the way, could you deliver this to my brother?
No.
Yeah, but you know what? One of the reasons I'm sitting down today is out of respect for your brother, by the way. He's a good guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wish you, you know, like, I heard you had tremendous respect for me. And, like, that's what Louis also said. And, like, you know, when I met you guys, like, I never had a problem with you guys before.
And Rachel's like, I do not truly feel like you wanted to be my friend, Teresa.
Well, I get it, you know, because, like, sometimes when you're, like, close to one person, it's, like, hard to get close to another person, which I totally understand. It's Margaret's fault.
Oh, so you're implying that since I'm close with Melissa, that I can't get close to you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because, like, I don't know why you felt that.
But is this something that I need both of you to understand, okay? That if we listened to what everybody was saying, we probably wouldn't be sitting here right now because nobody wants us to sit down with you because you're terrible people. Do you understand? Nobody likes you, okay?
And John's like, actually, I wouldn't be sitting here. Like, oh. Ooh. Oh, wow. Oh,
wow.
Thank you for your sacrifice, sir.
John trying so hard. So she's like, just being honest. She goes,
all right. Well, I mean, also, John, like, I felt a connection with you, you know.
And he's like, so what changed? What changed to go out and call me a drug dealer? She's like,
I wasn't calling you a drug dealer, like, currently.
Are you sure about that? Yeah. Are you sure? So what'd you say?
You know, if you heard that I called you a drug dealer currently, then I'm sorry that you heard that.
Wait, what verb did you use? What verb?
What's that? Coming.
What tense did you use when you said the word?
Angry corianders.
All right.
Why are you asking me about herbs?
Say it again.
You know, I heard that someone in your past said that you were the biggest drug dealer.
And Rachel's like, but this is what I said to you at lunch, is that to me it doesn't matter if you said he is or he was. It's the fact that you put that in the universe that we're living in, even though it was already in the universe and people already knew.
I didn't put it onto the universe.
You know what I'm saying to you, sir.
It was already on the universe, all right?
Publicly. You put it out there publicly.
Yeah, publicly.
Publicly.
He's like, so, all right, so let me redirect this conversation, okay? Because I was coming here today to get an apology, and I'm not really hearing that right now.
Did you just hear what I said? I said, if you heard that, I said you was a drug dealer currently.
I said that you were the biggest drug dealer in Bergen County, and if I should have said Tenafly, then I apologize.
But you got no right to take my pass from 20 years when I was a juvenile that sold marijuana, by the way, which is now legal. So I'm gonna tell you what my past is. She goes,
I don't care.
He's like, well, you should.
And she goes, all right, then tell me then.
He's like, you took that information from a criminal who's currently in jail who manufactured crystal meth.
And she's like, John.
And this part, when she goes, John, just stop. That's Jaden's mom. You know, like, don't say that. when Teresa outclasses you in an argument, you have lost, sir. I mean, that Teresa can think about your children before you can. You're just, now you're just a waste of time. At least before you were making an effort, but now you're just kind of like sacrificing your kid to do it. Which, I mean, you've done it before, so I don't know why I'm surprised, but gross.
And she's like, that's Jaden's mom. And Rachel's like, no, I'm Jaden's mom. Nice to meet you. She's like, I'm just saying. It's like, you know, you don't want me, you don't want to know what I got into by bringing that up. You know, you don't know her. And when you guys hatch this all up, my son has to go through all this, especially when Rachel and I keep on bringing it up every week.
I was going to say, you brought it up. You guys were the ones who brought it up on the show. That was your storyline in the first season. We're watching the show.
Yeah.
So Teresa's so like, we didn't, like, and he's like, you excuse me, I am still going. And this is when it turns into John just yelling at Teresa, which this.
He tells a story about how his ex-wife, you know, they were driving and she like, I guess they were in a fight. She pulled the wheel from him, or he was driving and hit a telephone pole at 55 miles an hour. He broke bones and he could have died, yada, yada, yada.
So. But okay, and also it's like this, I'm sorry, I got lost because I'm trying to do the timeline of, so she was on drugs but you weren't on drugs, that was just your girlfriend. I don't know, but it doesn't matter, it's too gross and dark, so I decided not to go down that path. But I love that he's like, you don't even know what happened, because this woman at this actual location right across the street hit. I was like, you came back to the scene of your car crash to have your housewife's argument with Teresa? What is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. What is wrong with you?
And he's like, you owe me an apology. You owe me an apology. And she goes, yeah, well, then you owe us an apology for bringing my husband's name up. He's like, no, this isn't tit for tat. She's like, no, it is. It is tit for tat.
So what was his last year that he did anti-Louis? Because they were all going for Louis last year and he just helped dogpile on top of Louis, or what?
Yeah, I don't even remember what the Louis stuff was last year, because it's been like so many years of Louis being just having creepy, strange behavior.
And there was so much last year that got so toxic and crazy, and the fights were so crazy at the reunion that I'm like, which part was the...
Well, I think the thing really came down to the fact that Louis hired Bo Deedle and got, like, you know, folders on everyone, dossiers on everyone, and like John didn't like that.
Right, but Teresa is saying that John Fuda started it. She's saying you threw the first punch with us, and so our talking to your ex-wife was revenge for you throwing the first punch. But I don't remember what the first punch was that she's talking about. So any listener, feel free to tell us in comments on Instagram. We'll read them, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I really don't remember.
Okay. Damn it.
So they're basically like, he's asking for an apology and she's like, well, I want an apology too, which is very Teresa. And, you know, Teresa's like, she's saying that she's like, you know, you owe my husband, you hurt his business by putting a false lie out there. Maybe at the reunion, John said something about Louis's business, like it wasn't real or it was this or that, who knows. But eventually John is like, you know what? I agreed to meet you with you with the, you know, to have the conversation, but it's never going to happen like this. So here's how it's going to go. I agreed to meet you under that pretense. It's not happening. I don't find your apology authentic.
He's like, you don't got to say the rules.
And he's like, so in this conversation, I don't get to give a shit what game you think you're playing, okay? But your apology is not authentic with me, girlfriend. Like, he's starts like going off and yelling at Teresa. I'm so embarrassed for him. It's so hard to watch.
So he basically is like, come on, we're gonna go. So they get up to leave and she's like, but you brought up his name first. Because I don't give a shit. You're gonna apologize for what you did, and if you don't want to, then this conversation's over.
I did apologize. Currently.
And then he's like, no, you did not. She goes, all right then, see you, John Fugazi. And he goes, yup, Fugazi, also, just remember. She goes, yeah, remember what, Fugazi? Sherlock Holmes Fugazi.
You're the poster child for mortgage fraud.
Yeah, fuck you.
So he's like, you're a money launderer. She goes, oh yeah, you're fucking with the wrong girl, let me tell you. And he goes, oh yeah,
baby, I love a good fight, let's do it, baby.
She goes, oh yeah, you got a lot coming to you, drug dealer.
I love, like, after this whole thing, like, I'm sorry, no, I only called him a drug dealer in the past, not currently. Hey, fuck you, drug dealer. It's classic Teresa.
This was a fun episode. No. I loved it.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, don't yell at women, stupid. What's wrong with you? But Teresa.
All right, well, everyone, thank you so much.
Bye, drunk dealer.
Everyone, thank you so much for being here, for listening. We sure do appreciate you, and we'll be back with more recap. So, you know, we'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We forever love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, my favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds, but none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? Follow Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.